I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Global Watchman News. My name is Lori Swan, and today is Sunday, March 8th, 2020. And I want to, first off, take the opportunity to welcome everybody. Chat room is open. So welcome to everybody in the chat. Please feel free to participate and provide information to one another, interact with one another, have great conversation. Moderators will be there to ensure that we stay within the guidelines of YouTube terms of service. I do ask that you be respectful of one another. Keep your comments family friendly so that we can ensure that this channel can continue utilizing this platform to bring you information relevant to the times that we are blessed to be living in. If you're new here, welcome. Take a moment to hit that subscribe button, hit the bell so you know when I go live and you can join us. So tonight, I kind of gave you guys a little sneak preview this afternoon when I went live to let you guys know who was joining me tonight. So without further ado, I want to welcome to the show EJ Clinton, Factions of Freedom. Hey, EJ.
Oh, wow, Lori. That was extraordinarily professional. Good Lord. thank you for having me. Wow. You caught me off guard. Wow. Thank you so much for having me. I think we're going to get into a lot of different topics as always. For Lori's audience, longtime listeners, hey, it's been a while. And for the new listeners, it has. Oh my God.
For those of you that don't know, EJ was my original co-host back when I started this channel.
Yeah. I'm her Darth Vader.
He's my person.
Yeah, I'm her person.
My person. For those of you that watch Grey's Anatomy, he's my person. So, yeah. Yeah, it's been a while because you kind of went off and done your own thing. You're growing your channel. You're growing your audience, which I have to say, and I say this all the time because I do bring you up on a regular basis, believe it or not, EJ.
You don't talk about me, Lori.
I do. I swear you can ask them in the chat room. I've always said, as soon as I get done saying, if you're not following EJ Clinton, you are missing out. This man is phenomenal. And by the way, I finally caught one of your live streams the other night. Finally caught it, and I put in the chat. I was like, I finally did it, and my internet went out.
That typically happens. Like if I'm usually on like a good, if I'm talking about the truth, really hitting points, people will say the live gets terminated or the transmission gets like cut, or I have to start like a whole separate thing, or somehow my air quote phone overheats. And so this is what you created, Lori. How does it make you feel?
for those of you that don't know, or those that have been following EJ and I for a while, I said this earlier, guys, when we get together, strange things happen. So I don't know. Do you remember when we were simulcasting on Revolution Radio? And the entire, the entire studio went down. Remember, we took everything down with us and we couldn't get back on. And people, I was simulcasting on YouTube, and we told everybody, and people were telling us if we weren't watching it live, we never would have believed what happened.
Were we talking about the Russian training facilities? The ones?
No, it was one of our paranormal broadcasts.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Because and I think this is a good way for us to kind of pivot in and talking about, the coronavirus, the current state of affairs and more. We don't sugarcoat things. And I really do appreciate that, because as I have just like gone and done my own thing, there's a lot of people that kind of sugarcoat things, Lori. They don't attack like the real issues, not on a consistent basis. They're not honest. They get scared. And I get that. But that's not going to get us through this. Like that level of fear is what they expect. And I was talking about this the other day. I told you I was at a specific type of meeting. If you want to get into that, we can talk about that later.
We can do whatever takes us. We're along for the ride.
But we were talking about preparedness, getting yourself storable food, getting yourself prepared, because I'd rather have it and not need it instead of needing it and not have it. But people these days, because of the delusion they're under, the denial, the ignorance, the foolishness,
the
scumbaggery, the cognitive dissonance, they get lost and they get scared. And I get that. They're truly not equipped to handle what they're seeing. And so I guess that's why we're here, to help, explain these things to people, because they are scared and we are, regular day people. So thank you so much for having me is all I can say.
Oh, it's good. Thank you. And this, we every time we get on, last time EJ and I were on, we were talking about Epstein. We did a broadcast about Epstein. And, but here's the thing is, we don't sugarcoat things.
It's not healthy.
No, it's not. And here's the thing about that is, I don't know about you, but I get a lot of times I get accused of fear mongering.
Yes.
And I tell people, I'm going to have you do your screen share. There you go. I get accused of fear mongering, and I tell people that the last thing I want to do is to make them afraid of anything. I love them enough to not sugarcoat this, to tell them the uncomfortable truth. And a lot of people, and I found that if you don't have hope beyond the grave, then you have fear in the lifetime.
Well, see, that's where that whole climate change, earth worship, anti-human agenda that Greta Thunberg is pushing. She sits up over there and tells people that, this is all there is. The humanity is going to be extinct, this, that, and the third. That's very apathetic. That's nihilistic. That's not divinity. That's not, eternity. That's not recognizing the creator. You see, that's recognizing created, finite, not the infinite. And so whenever kids adopt this mentality, they don't really think of the future. It's very dangerous. And so this is what I was telling you before the show. But doing this type of work has definitely deepened my faith on a crazy level, because when I see things like this, yes, I have an instinctual fear, but it asks me, or it makes me ask myself, Am I prepared? Are we living in alignment with what we're saying, what we're seeing? The writing's on the wall. The signs of the times are there. Are you able to read the tea leaves? Do you understand what is happening? Yes, be aware. But again, practice preparedness. And a lot of people, because they're lost in some delusion, oh, that's not happening. Oh, Rick and Morty, Game of Thrones, what's the latest thing? I don't know. But you see, it's because they try to fill their life with distractions that they can't handle, like reality. And it's very scary. But
well, and you think about it, when you brought up Greta, you know, and the youth of this time is so used to having their, how do I want to say, it's almost like they're given Novocaine. They're living some sort of, you know, an emotional Novocaine, and they don't understand, you know, they have that ability to introvert into this false world, this AI world, this, what is it called? The, you know, going into the gaming and this sort of reality, altered sense of reality. And I believe it's definitely, desensitize them to the actual world around them.
Lori, you know, you just described the Matrix 4, right? I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen the script, but you basically described us going into the Matrix willingly. It's because people don't want to act here in the real world. Three-dimensional action requires physical work, and as well as like integrating internal spiritual work. People don't want to do that. If I could play a video game or get up over here on social media and say some things that, you know, might get the right attention, they want to feel that. They don't want to operate here in the real world.
And this goes along with, you know, the creation of the AI world, this 5G world, the Internet of Things, where we don't have to put forth any sort of thought process or any sort of exertion. We push a button and it's there for us. It's instant gratification at the hands of losing ourselves.
Yes. Yes. And this is, you know, I talk about it all the time on my show. I talk about how these tools of enslavement that they've given us, and I think this is, I don't want to say we're immune to it. I think this is why we're conscious to it. But these tools of enslavement that they've given us, the cell phones, the distractatrons, you know, the smartphones, the tablets and things like this, because we use them for actual media creation purposes, content or conscious content creation. We use them as tools of enlightenment rather as tools of enslavement for what they're given. And mm-hmm. So again, when we're confronted with these things, we're not caught off guard because we understand what the game is. And so that's where we're at in this weird phase as the agenda advances. We see what they're pushing, and that's why people like us, other various people, you know, doing this type of work are necessary. But this is, again, why they've created things like censorship and that much more, because they are aware of human intelligence, of human potential, of human greatness, and they have to stifle it. They have to manipulate it. They have to coerce it. I've said that we're going through a tremendous period of change, and they gave us technology to kind of filter and manipulate it to their desired outcome. It's sketchy, and I don't like it.
Well, I mean, it's what they're doing now is they're giving us the illusion of free will.
Yes.
Looking at the way Hollywood is manipulating our reality, the way the music industry is manipulating it, you know, those with eyes to see and ears to hear can actually take, I can't watch movies anymore, EJ. I can't do it.
Because I watch old school 80s movies. Like Logan's Run or just
Lord, why would you bring up Logan's Run? We just talked, that's the time we're living in. This is the time we're living in. We are getting to that point where only it's going to be the survival of the fittest. Only you know, right now, I firmly believe this whole 5G flu, Wuhan flu epidemic, pandemic, whatever you want to call it, I believe it is the starting of the calling of the elderly, of the weak.
Well, all last year, and I remember reporting on it. I remember talking about it, doing multiple shows on it. Remember those scientists, those 11,000 scientists that were calling for population control, What did Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez talk about as well? Well, there's just, you know, very bad conditions that the world's heading into. So maybe we should just stop having children. What did Bernie Sanders say? Abortion for climate change. What did that professor say? Cannibalism for climate change. What are these people talking about? This is an anti-human agenda that's disguised as humanitarianism. That's dangerous. They're putting us
into a slippery slope. Yesterday, last night on the broadcast, I went into the whole euthanasia up in Canada. I read through it. It made me sick to my stomach.
Well, see, the sad part is they I couldn't bring myself to posting it and talking about it on the page because that's eugenics. The sad part is with what's going on in Canada is they started with people that had depression, they started with people who had autism disorders, Asperger's syndrome, things like this. And then they worked their way up to people who have depressions and mental illnesses. Last year, I forget the woman's name, but there was a whole case where she opted for basically, she was like 16 years old. She was raped and she wanted to die and she didn't want to be resuscitated. And so she had I'm not sure if you remember it, but she went through the whole process of basically explaining. Well,
one of the aspects of it is where if you try to take measures into your own hands and you fail, that they can finish the process for you.
Yeah.
It's a slippery slope. It's brought us, humanity is spiraling into the reality that life doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like Logan's Run. You know, you hit 30 and boom, you're dead because life didn't matter.
Right here. We're just talking about it. December 23rd, 2019. Canada may allow doctors to euthanize teenagers and mentally disabled people. This is put up by LifeNews.com. It's by Alex Schadenberg. Yeah. Towards the end of 2019.
But here's the thing on this, though, EJ, is that they allow it's subjective. It's whatever you feel you can't, you know, you maybe have a curable disease and, you know, just can't tolerate the pain anymore. I can't go 6 months. I can't go a year with this rehabilitation. I just want to end it now. And they let you. It is completely and totally subjective on that aspect. Of it. It is what you can handle and what you want. And we're not doing anything about it and we're not stopping it. We're allowing it, you know. But where does it stop? Where does this stop?
Precisely. I mean, you look at, I hate to sound like an old person. I'm only like, I'm heading towards the end of my 20s. How about that? I won't give you a specific number. I'm heading towards the end of my 20s. I'm seeing how the respect for life, the respect for decency, you know, wholesomeness, love, compassion, understanding, you know, virtue, like actual virtue, not virtue signaling, to where it's like guilt based, you know, to where just a overall decency is leaving us. It's being filled with pride, arrogance, apathy, nihilism, self-loathing, degeneracy. Yeah. I just call it as a blank term scumbaggery, because for some weird reason we want to hate ourselves. And that's not how you build a civilization. You build civilization off of love, off of things that inspire you. You divide, you make yourself like closer to God, closer to the divine. I don't know how to explain it, but where we are at right now is very, very dangerous. And I feel us slipping. I was telling people the other day at the gym, I won't go off on a jack. I'll just say this and cut it off. I was telling people at the gym the other day, the work that we do, and I'm sure you understand it, Lori, the work that we do, it has us come into contact with Satanists, atheists, and Luciferians, and people who feel that there is no God. They understand what they're doing is trying to trigger people off of a false delusion. This is very dangerous because it's based in the mind, not acknowledging that which divines, that which powers us, that which is inside of us. Our bodies are temples. They're not just fleshly sacks of meat. They hold something precious. And so we're losing that. If we're losing that, we begin to disrespect humanity and dehumanize ourselves. We're not understanding these things. And so it is an interesting time to be alive. That's all I can say.
And you know, this goes along with the fact that we are the temples of God. We are the temple. The ultimate goal of Satan is to defile the temple. And we hear in the book of Daniel, and you know, in the book of Revelation, they talk about the desolation. And that is, is not a building. It is a temple. They are trying to manipulate our DNA through vaccinations, through chemtrails, through GMOs. And guys, if you don't know what I'm talking about, go earlier. My video I put up earlier, and I talked to you guys about this. We even listened to Anthony Patch back in January of 2014 told us about the third strand DNA, talked about the coronavirus, talked about MERS and SARS, and even said that they're going to put forth an agenda that is going to have people begging for vaccines, begging. Okay, you know what? And as I said earlier, 9/11. Perfect example. This will put us right to where we want to go. On 9/11, our bubble was burst. That morning when we were going to work or doing whatever you're doing, going off to school, whatever, you had not a care in the world. The last thing on your mind was the possibility that we were, as a nation, going to be attacked, that somebody was going to come on our soil and take lives.
Yeah, I can fathom it.
Whether you believe or not, and let's not even go into the whole, 9/11 was an inside job. There was no airplanes. I don't care about that. I want to talk about the raw emotion, because that is exactly what they're doing today, isn't it, EJ?
Yeah. Yeah, well, go ahead.
I was going to say that raw emotion. Okay, so let's take everybody back to 9/11. Let's go back. Let's get in our time machines and let's just swoop ourselves back to that Tuesday morning, 7:30 in the morning, doing whatever you're doing. I know y'all remember where you were. It's kind of like, when Kennedy was assassinated. Y'all know where you were. So take yourselves back to that. And let's go into that raw emotion of how you felt the moment that plane hit that building. And I'm going to give it over to you for that.
But most people couldn't comprehend it. I mean, I think I was probably maybe somewhere around like 12, 10, sometime like that. You couldn't comprehend it because your mind was watching, you had seen so many movies prior to that, that your mind really couldn't fathom. This is real. This isn't TV. You're not at a movie theater. You're going about your daily life and seeing news clips of an attack, but your mind couldn't fathom it. You were just going about your daily business and you didn't realize it at the time, but your world had changed and it was going to keep changing. And we're still dealing with things like the Patriot Act.
Right. We would have done anything. We gave up our freedoms without question, without even a thought. All we were like is do whatever. We'll give you whatever you have to do to make us feel like we felt on Monday morning.
We just want to go back to what's normal.
And this is exactly, you likened this whole COVID-19, you likened this whole event with 9/11. I'm going to let you take the floor for a few minutes and let you explain to people how you've come to the conclusion that this is a 9/11 event, which is kind of interesting because for years, we have all said that there's going to be an earth changing event that's going to make 9/11 look like chump change. So for you to sit there and say that you feel that this is a 9/11 event is quite interesting. Go ahead and explain to people.
Well, I'm asking this question now so we can timestamp it. I'm asking these type of questions like, what do we know? What don't we know? What will this do? What can we do? And who stands to gain? Right now, it seems like the telecom industries, because they have to maintain communications throughout this entire process. Whenever I'm trying to compare the coronavirus to 9/11, what I'm trying to say is that first tower, like me and Lori were just describing right there, that initial impact, whether or not you saw it as it happened for the people that were right there in New York, or if you were just going about your day, seeing it as the news clips happened, or if you were hearing about it on the news, that first initial impact, you couldn't comprehend it. You couldn't think, oh my God, somebody would attack America? America? That's the initial outbreak in China back in like November, because we figured out, you know, with Event 201, Bill Gates, the pervert, and various other pharmaceutical industries back in October of 2019. These people ran an event. Then November comes around, something happens. Then the same time in October, 5G gets turned on. We'll talk about that later as well. But that first initial
Did you know that on the same day that the event 201 was taking place in New York, that the UN Olympics was taking place in Wuhan, China?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
But see, that's again, that shows higher level coordination and orchestration of trying to strategically spread this virus. You see, and I won't lie, Lori, like I have friends that were in Shanghai during this time frame. They already went through the 14-day quarantine process, not the 28-day quarantine process. And so, yeah. But again, back to Tower One, the initial outbreak out there in China, we couldn't comprehend it. We can't think about China releasing like a bioweapon or some type of disease like this happening. Boom. Second happens. Like me and Lori were just talking about. Tower Two goes down. Tower Two goes down. The worldwide outbreak, people being shipped. We start thinking, good Lord, this outbreak that we can't even comprehend is now coming to us. Well, let's downplay it. Again, this is all taking place in November, all throughout December, January. We reported it all throughout February, and now we're here in March. Tower 7, that is still left up to debate today, is the socioeconomic and the sociopolitical impacts of what we're going to have to deal with. We can't even, again, begin to comprehend the outbreak in China, the worldwide outbreak, and the entire world shutting down. What is the response of this, right? Because the American response with, somebody hit America, we're going to war, Afghanistan. The worldwide response is to shut it down. It's the global health security agenda. It's a legitimate thing. Obama signed it back in 2016. It creates this like worldwide database or a nationwide database of vaccine implementation schedules and this, that, and the third. Everything we've talked about, Tower 7, the socioeconomic implications and the sociopolitical impact of it all, that's what we're not focused on. And just like those terror attacks, how they attacked the trade centers, the World Trade Centers, this too will affect the world trade. This will shut things down. We're already talking about putting things down on a two-month break, a two-month lockdown. I don't want to scare people, but I mean, it's Trump signs an $8,000 bill this Friday. States of emergency are declared in Washington, California. Governor Cuomo has thought about it. He's hinted towards it this time, this weekend in New York. There's a state of emergency being declared in Oregon right now, today. And there's so many different things going on with this that I'm trying to just compare it to 9/11, because people don't understand how many different things happened with just that, from airport screening to TSA to Homeland Security. Think about what that created. What is this going to do? So yeah, it's not so much the virus, the initial impact that I'm worried about. It's about everything else that comes after that, that I'm worried about. So when you hear people telling you, oh, don't worry, this is just like the flu, they're a goddamn idiot. Okay. They're a gosh darn fool. And I understand that they're scared. They're worried. They're trying to downplay their own fears. You need to do what is necessary for you to prepare. That's the only reason we're here. We're not here to scare you. We're here to talk to you. We're here to break this thing down, being as conservative with these numbers, looking at this stuff as easy as we can. That's all I'm saying. And so when I'm comparing it to 9/11, we're still dealing with 9/11 20 plus years later. You see.
Absolutely. And let me, because there's, you know, people that are, you know, I don't think they're listening to what's being said right now. I think they're hung up on, you know, our government did 9/11. You know, there was no, I'm not talking. We are not talking about that right now. We are not talking about the information that we found out after the event. I want you guys to feel that raw emotion of that moment the planes hit, or the moment that whatever is, okay, whatever, okay, it was that hit the Pentagon, whatever it was that hit the, you know, the buildings. Okay, that regardless, I want you to feel that raw emotion, because that's what we're talking about right now, is that moment of realization that the world as we know it is changed in a split second.
Yes. I, it sounds crazy, but I think for people like us who kind of look at this information every day, we have like a historical perspective. We've read the works of, you know, Bill Cooper, Behold the Pale Horse. We're aware of the Illuminati, the New World Order, and their different agendas. Part of us is freaking out, because that's the civilian part of us that wants to act like this isn't happening. But the researcher aspect of us that knows this is part of the agenda isn't quite sure how to react and where to go from here. So we have an obligation to look at this information as critical as we can and present it to the people as much as they can, because all we're really doing is trying to push this conversation a little bit down the road so we get what's happening. This is scary for everyone involved, but if we don't start reacting to this information, taking the proper precautions in our own life, we're going to get caught slipping. Lori, you know me. I'm just a random dude on the internet, some random black dude you found. People still kind of trip out that I am black.
I'm not telling you that you are, by the way, because I don't think you realize it, but okay.
Right? I look at some of these, I'm listening to the works of doctors, scientists, researchers, analysts, engineers, like so many different people that I'm just regurgitating the information, trying to consolidate it for everybody else. Right. The amount of information from people that are much more skilled than me, I don't really believe in, you know, scientism and the technocracy and giving over my intelligence. I'm not about that. But the people who are actually being conservative with how they're breaking this down, it is terrifying to me. And so when I'm trying to tell people that a certain level of precaution needs to be met when approaching this.
But we're trying to approach it without instilling that fear in people, but yet still trying to blow that trumpet of urgency. We want to make sure that, you know, you, when this first started, EJ, I'm going to be honest with you, the very first broadcast that I did on this, I had said, I can't tell you whether this is a false flag event or not, because I don't know. And I don't want to, you know, and as the days went by, I was still in that mode of not wanting to scare people, not wanting to, you know, not wanting to put myself into a box of saying this is real, this is false. And finally, I said to people, I said, here's the thing. I guess I'm going to have to put our channel on a DEF CON kind of system. DEF CON 1 being all is good, DEF CON 5 being turkey lurkey, the sky is falling. I said, you know, as of right now, and this was probably 2 or 3 days after I started reporting on it. So right now I'm about a solid 2, 2.5, you know. And as the weeks have gone by and as I've looked at the information coming in, because like you, I have tons of information coming at me from all directions. Half the time I can't even get through the information. Somebody sends me, you got to watch this video. It's, you know, it's 45 minutes long. Can you break it down for me? Can I read the transcript, Janet? You know, there's just so much information coming at us. And so, you know, but looking at it now, and I know you've looked at the same information. I want to show you something. I'm going to take you off a screen real quick. And I want to show you something, because this is what kind of changed my mind. Because I've had, and like you've probably, you know, had people on the page going, oh my God, it's just the common flu. Will you people stop it?
No.
I actually found something today that I need to jump
in. Just to jump in real quick. You know, we have a history of the flu. We know where the flu comes from. We also know where the coronavirus comes from. It's man-made. See, we're the history of the coronavirus. Do you know how many people died from the flu? We're about to find out how many people are dying from the coronavirus, because we are, at its inception, it is a man-made disease. And so when people say that it just treat it like the same flu, that's very dangerous. The flu did not shut down the Olympics. The flu did not shut down South by Southwest. The flu did not shut down Ultrafest. The flu did not shut down over 440 different events and exhibitions, business related, around the entire world. And still today, the flu did not shut down Washington, D.C. I'm just trying to tell you, there are various things to where I hear people trying to downplay it, but because they're not putting the pictures together or putting the pieces together.
Well, again, they may be out of fear. You don't know. Yeah. I mean, this is something that we don't know. This right here up on the screen, this is taken directly, not 45 minutes ago. I went on the COVID live, and I share this with you guys at the start of every show, except I didn't do it today, but this is something that I pulled off of the actual website. And look at what it says. I mean, look at this. And I'll show you guys the website that I pulled this off of.
And for audio listeners, I'll describe it to you. Oh, shucks, it just went away. I was going to read it.
Okay, just give me a second. I'm going to show you, show everybody the site that I pulled it off of. This is the site that I pull this off of. It's a site that I go to all of the time when we, you know, when I start the show. And this was here, but it was on my phone. And I can't find it on the website here, but I can show you. Give me a second and I'll put it back so you can, because his listeners are audio. But I want to show you real quick. Did I do it? Did I show it? Oh, no, I didn't. Hold on a second.
I feel like what ends up happening is there's a lot of people that don't want to believe what they're seeing. And so we bring up stats, we bring up articles, we bring up videos, we bring up testimonies, we bring up like different scenarios, like, and people really have a hard time coming to grips with what they're seeing. And I get that. We're having to get to the point to where we have to work past that initial fear and begin informing people that there are precautions they need to take within their own personal life, because I don't want anybody to get quarantined. Okay. I started this looking at like Obama doing NDAAs, disappearing journalists for indefinite periods of time, FEMA camps, martial law, police states. We're in that period. And so when we're talking about this type of stuff, we have to figure out every type of way to protect yourself, protect your families, help secure the future, and so much more. And so once we get past that initial fear, we're able to start problem solving, start checking off things, make a list, check it twice, come up with a solo plan, come up with a group plan, come up with like a 3-month plan. And that's where people need to be at. They need to acknowledge the initial fear, acknowledge those initial emotions, but do not become a slave to them. Begin to work through them, because I'm telling you, we're going to get past the coronavirus. As crazy as all this sounds at the moment, we're going to get past the coronavirus the same way we got past 9/11. But if we don't begin to forge that marathon mindset to begin to tackle these problems, we're going to get caught slipping. We're going to see all these things happening. And some people are going to put their heads in the sand. They're going to be scared. Mm-hmm. They're going to run to the government and ask for them to give them solutions of this vaccine that's going to be tainted, that's going to corrupt them. That's foolish. Don't do that.
They're going to go into a panic, because this has the potential of being a runaway, a forest fire. This has the potential of being a wildfire if we don't contain our emotions. Adrenaline makes people stupid. That, I'm sorry to say that. I'm sorry if that offends you, but it does. First, that was the first lesson I learned in medical school. Adrenaline makes you stupid. You need to slow down. And anybody will tell you, any survivalist will tell you, that the first people to die in an emergency are the ones that panic.
Yes. I was at this meeting last night talking with gentlemen, looking at their preparedness gear, from the masks to their week supply, their month supply, their 2-month supply, because they had various different packages. I looked at their rainwater collector. I looked at their filtration system and I said, this is good. This is good. You see, I don't worry about everybody else. And this is why we need to have these kind of conversations and these type of networks and brotherhoods, because when stuff does hit the fan, who can you rely on? Can you rely on yourself? If you become self-sufficient, the people that you know, are they reliable or are they unreliable? Are these people that will come to you in a time of crisis and help make things worse, or will they help bring things to the table? Will they provide assistance? I know it sounds crazy, but we're entering into a time to where we can't necessarily help people who do not want to help themselves. And I don't want to sound rude. I'm all about trying to wake people up and help them. This is the work that we do, but this is a test. We're going to get past the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. This is a test. People see all these things going on. If they choose to perpetuate the lifestyle in the time that they know is unsustainable, to use the UN's own words, this is very foolish. This is willful ignorance. As you said before, this is the cognitive dissonance. And unfortunately, we have to leave them where they have chosen to stay.
Exactly. It's the weeding out of the wheat and the chafe. This is, you know, you can't think of it any other way. The Bible tells us that in the end times, you know, we will have that weeding out. And I believe that's what it is. And I'm not talking about the culling of the population. I'm talking about actual spiritual separation of the wheat and the tares.
Lori, you've known me for, gosh, I don't know, maybe 3, 4, 5 years, right? And look at
2014, I think we met.
Oh, God, is it? You see, that's what I'm talking about. That's how fast time goes. I can't even keep track. I'm getting old in front of you, and I don't even know what's going on, Lori.
You were the young pup.
I know. And look at the quickening that's happened, man.
Yes, I know.
I people tell me I'm conservative and Republican. I trip out because, well, I don't want government in my life. I want all you people to leave me alone.
Unfortunately, you know, if people push it, you know, and they start calling me, you know, you're a liberal. Why? Because I told the truth about Trump. No, you guys don't understand. I don't participate in any satanic world government, you know, but if I had to put a label on myself, unfortunately, I'm a conservative Christian. If I have to put that label on myself.
It trips me out because I didn't think that I had these views until I was confronted with actual Satanists, actual Luciferians, actual people that wanted to take my relationship with God, my flimsy spirituality, they wanted to take that from me. They didn't realize like the necessity of it. And as I do this work, I understand how much I understand how much information comes to me, but also how much wisdom is given to me by our Creator God. I hate to sound, you know, like a Bible thumper, but it is a very real thing. So not to deviate, but this is a very true aspect of what we see happening. All of this was written in the Bible. I won't lie. I don't want to go down like a prophetic text talk right now, but I mean, good Lord, look at the locusts that are leaving Africa right now and making their way to China, to where it is corona infested, you know, after devastating all those lands. And so I think because of, you know, again, the several years that we've known each other now, good Lord, seeing these things intensify and realizing that we don't really have time to waste, man. Like as much as we would think that we do, the writing's on the wall.
The sad part of it is I think you probably have come to the same realization as I have. And I know that there's a girl that's in that chat room right now. And we had this conversation the other day where I told her, I said, you know, there comes a time that you have no choice but to brush your feet off and to move on. You have to accept the fact that not everybody's name is written in the book of life. And that is something that has taken me a number of years to even come to the realization or the ability to comprehend that, because, you know, I'm Lori and I want to save everybody. I want to save the world. But I've come to the realization that I can't save everybody. There are certain people that have the reprobate minds that aren't going to come into the realization. They're not going to come into the fold that they are our souls that are going to be lost. There comes a time that you have to let go. I mean, I can hold on to your hand for so long, but I can't stand before the throne of judgment with you. You have to do that on your own. There has to come a time that I have to break away, and I have to walk away, and I have to be able to do that with a clean mind or with a clean conscience personally, you know.
You know, it's crazy, Lori. I remember one of the last times we talked, how it was like we say this, and I remember like the last time we talked, how much of a burden it is for us to do this, because we have this crazy obligation to where we know if we don't warn people, their blood is going to be on our hands.
How many times have we tried walking away?
I call it my I did it this year. I call it my global temper tantrum. I had various people on social media and Instagram. And
so that's just where, when we do that, we do it publicly. We're like, that's it. We're done.
Yeah. I'm done. I'm going to be normal now. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't care.
And you, guys, you know what? Stupid, I don't care. And we may get 24 hours, we may get 48 hours, but all of a sudden we're like, oh, we're back.
Well, that's why it's a calling. And I truly don't think people understand that. Like I call them, it's my global temper tantrum. When I get angry about doing all this work, it's my global temper tantrum. But people don't understand that it's such a drive to take the brunt and the darkness of the world and try to turn it into some good, letting people understand that there is something after this and that what we're going through is something that we're going to get past. It's just temporary. But people don't understand how much that affects you, like mentally, emotionally, spiritually.
No, it takes its toll on you. Absolutely, it does.
Oh, yeah. And so that's
I usually call it my mental health break. You know, it's, and I take one, I take one about every 6 months. You know, I'll deactivate my Facebook account and I'll be like, I'm done, you know, and I'll say to Dave, you know, I'm done. And you know, what's weird is I took a break, for as much of a break as I can take. Okay. I'll admit that as much of a break as I could take when we went in down to Galveston, when we got married, and still, I was posting, I was watching videos. I was still in the know. I knew what was going on globally. I was watching everything and yet still trying to have fun on my once in a lifetime vacation, you know, but it's a double-edged sword. It truly is, because we have this calling, we have this urge. And yet, you know, let me ask you a question here. So are you getting the messages from people asking you now, what do we do?
Yes and no. I'm having people that work like in, that work with the public and in medical healthcare messaging me, kind of like keeping me up to date, like step by step what their process is, because they're telling me as much as their life as they can. Like I recently had like a lady whose husband worked with the public. You know, he recently had to go to the hospital. I think back on Friday, he went in at like 1 PM. She wrote me around like 4 o'clock or so. And, you know, she hadn't heard back from him since. And so she was wondering whether or not she should go down because she had been contracted with it. She was wondering whether or not she contracted it. And so I started thinking in my head, how do I respond to this? Because I think hospitals themselves are just these dens of disease that are just going to incubate it. So how do I respond to that? So these are the messages I'm getting. It's like messages that are happening with the process as we're getting it, because we realize that the faulty CDC kits that are being sent out, those are bad. Yeah. We're just now getting the new ones. So the people that are going in, who actually go in for a flu, the people who do, that's kind of strange to me. But wow, they're going in for actual tests, and they're letting me know like what happens. And so I don't know what's happening with their test. I don't know if they're being taken to quarantine. I don't know. So
we got to remind people that there's a lot of the people that give us the information that message us and talk to us. You know, I know you are the same way as I am. You know, I never would reveal my source when it comes to that, because of the fact that look at New York State. New York State's under a gag order. EMS officials and medical officials are not allowed to even talk about this with the press or with the public. Florida has made it illegal for them to release any information on anything pertaining to the virus. You know, and I've said this before, you know, I can understand HIPAA laws, but we're not asking for the names and addresses of these people. We're just asking for numbers. Is that too much to ask at this point?
Yeah, no, like just before getting on the air with you, I remember watching like a video out there in Seattle of this neighborhood that was quarantined. And the neighbors themselves, they were just like, hey, we just want to know. It was a 71-year-old man. The entire neighborhood was quarantined off.
Was that the one where they were the police were at the end of the road?
Yeah, and it was that old lady. She was being interviewed by the news people. Yeah. They actually went into the public health department. The gentleman with like a Tommy Bahama shirt, some silly flower shirt. He's smiling, saying the news crew come in. realizing he's about to get interviewed, I'm wondering, what are you smiling about? This is an actual crisis. People need information, and you think this is a joke. So this is very dangerous to me whenever our own officials can't tell us information. We have to go search for it. The numbers that are coming out of China are skewed and fake. We don't know how many people are actually going to the hospital to get checked. The test kits are faulty.
So how do we protect ourselves from a government who won't even tell us what we're protecting ourselves from?
Oh, God. Well, earlier last week, I remember just going on like a 5 to 30 minute rant about how incompetent government is, period, and how we should never trust them with anything in our lives. Exactly. I mean, good Lord. So I won't do that. What I will do is I'll tell you there's various methods that you can take, and I'll supply your audience, my audience, with it. I did it this week on the podcast. 6 to 7 different links, posts that I put up on the page that come up with this right here. You know, natural protection strategies against viruses, including the coronavirus, things that you can do in your own life to help build your immune system, getting intravenous vitamin C, getting onto a healthy regimen of vitamin D3, vitamin C. I myself am addicted to fish oil and magnesium. If you add a little bit of melatonin to that, you'll sleep for days. It's amazing. Get some zinc, get some selenium. We're going to get past the coronavirus. That's what people need to understand. Absolutely. For some strange reason, it targets the elderly and the young and people with compromised immune systems. And so whenever people don't understand that they can take their health back as a revolutionary act, as an independent thing, they don't need to rush to Walgreens, CVS, Walmart, any of these other places to get vaccines, deadly diseases shot in their body. When they realize that they can take their health back their own way, we can have this discussion. But because we live in a society and a culture that is dependent not only upon government, but ignorance and compliance, we don't really think that we can fix ourselves. So just real quick, I'll just fly through, you know, all of
the links that he's going to be showing you guys. Again, I will put in the description area underneath the audio or the video when it finishes uploading, just as I always do. I'll put you a link to Fractions of Freedom page on Facebook, which I think I'm still an admin too. So, I mean, if you want to meet, you know, send me a message over there, you can, you know, EJ's links will be everything I'll provide for you guys.
You know, there's been more than right here, you know, Orthomolecular News from January 30th, 2020. There's been more than 30 different clinical studies on the powerful antiviral effects of vitamin C. There's so many different things. Like we'll be sure to put it in the description bar below. I've made dozens of posts on it. I've really tried to tell people, you know, from elderberry extract, there's different ways that you can take your health back. Earlier last week, I did a kind of show and tell. I got like a little diffuser, filled it with a little bit of iodine, hydrogen peroxide, water, and a dash of essential oils. And that's designed to help clear your upper respiratory tract. That's exactly where the coronavirus attacks. Now, like I said, Lori, I'm no biologist. You know me. I'm just some random black dude on the internet trying to figure out what's happening. But I'm reading what the scientists are saying. I'm looking at these studies. I'm crunching my own numbers. I'm not looking at trollish comments on the internet from children who were scared. I'm looking at people who are research learned.
And by the way, EJ is another one of those great researchers who doesn't buy into the propaganda. He does the research for himself. So anything that you find on the Factions of Freedom's page, he has already vetted, and he is providing that information for you with sources. I found a lot of the times, even under YouTube videos, they're telling you something, but they're not providing sources for you to go to. So that's something that I'm going to make sure that we provide that for you.
I make sure, because, you know, I sound like a crazy person explaining these things, but I'm not crazy.
Again, it's subjective to both of us, but
beauty's in the eye of the beholder. That's a great way to put it, you know?
right, there you go.
The world is crazy, and I'm trying to make sense of it. That's all I can say. And so, you know, there's herbs and supplements right here. For our audio listeners, I'll explain it. Large powder, astragalus, medicinal mushrooms, supplements, you know, such as zinc, vitamin C, vitamin D3, selenium, as I said before, elderberry extract, glutathione, probiotics. You know, if you're down to get your body detoxed, that way you can kind of reset and flush what's happening in your system and help build it up from there. There's a thousand different ways, you know, to skin a buck, a thousand different ways to kill a man. There's a thousand different ways to do different things. But if you think your only solution is to run to government for a cure, that's very dangerous, because they want to nurture that dependency. That's very different. That's very foolish. And so what I'm trying to do these days is make people aware not only of the problem, but the different things they can do in their life. I'm no health coach, man. You know, I'm just trying to, again, figure out what's happening and explain things to people. Don't freak out. Meet this fear with truth. It's the only thing that can extinguish it. Don't hit fire with fire. Don't hit fear with ignorance. Meet it with truth. Meet it with awareness. Meet it with preparedness. And so when we talk about lifestyle changes, awareness, building your immune system, well, what will you do once your body is secure? Will you secure your mind? Will you secure your spirit? Will you secure your house? You see? And so there's a whole different, there's a whole lot of different things we could talk about as far as survivalism, survival tactics and things like that. But the point is we're trying to prevent that. And so if we can get people away from, you know, away from quarantine, away from these different fear tactics,
and away from big pharma, away from depending on the pharmaceutical companies to keep us healthy, when we know that the job of the pharmaceutical companies is to keep us sick. So if we can go back to the holistic, if we can go back to the natural, the herbs that God provided to us for this very purpose, then I believe that gives us a whole another layer of protection against what's coming.
Well, Lori, check this out. This is what I trip out about. I remember reporting on Johnson & Johnson earlier this year and the last year being sued because their talcum powder gave men breasts. And now Johnson & Johnson thinks it's a great idea to help develop the coronavirus. So what world have we entered into to where a company that's giving men breasts?
Well, I mean, think about it. We've got the same company that was responsible for Agent Orange doling out our seeds for our food. So,
that's, again, that ties into the history that people don't know of Bayer and Monsanto. Exactly. And that's a whole different show for a completely different day. But, you know, to get back to the coronavirus, because I want to talk about, you know, the vaccine, medical martial law, again, different things that people can do in their life to prepare themselves. We need to realize what's happening. Like part of us is trying to downplay it. We don't want this to be what this is. And the best way for it to not be that is for us to be prepared so that it isn't that for us, so that it isn't that for us in the future as well. And that's why all I can keep pushing is preparedness matched with a healthy dose of awareness.
Exactly. And that's exactly what I've been telling people, is I'm not so much telling you to prepare for the virus itself, but for the economic impact that it's going to have and already having worldwide. They are already pushing for cashless, saying, that the coronavirus is, again, working on fear. It's that fear-based mind control that they know works. They tried and true. They know that if they scare us, that they can, Hegelian dialectic, problem, reaction, solution, provide the problem, manipulate the reaction, and then offer the solution. They've given us the coronavirus. Now they're gonna manipulate the reaction by saying that the coronavirus is now being spread by the money, and their solution is, well, you know what? Let's stop using money. Let's go to a cashless society. So, I mean, this is something, fear-based mind control. That's all you got to think of. Whenever they tell us something, don't react on it immediately and emotionally. Look back, take a step back, look at it rationally, because there's always a rational reason behind or pertaining to a topic.
Lori, there's several different agendas going on right now simply with the coronavirus. From the cashless society to shutting down air travel, to surveillance state, to the vaccine agenda, and so much more. There are several different agendas at play right here And that's why people need to understand. That's why I tried to compare it as shucks, as compared it to 9/11 at the start of the show, because right now we're in that initial, we're in that Tower 2 phase, realizing that there's a worldwide outbreak. We're not thinking about what the socioeconomic and the sociopolitical ramifications of this are. Shutting down the world economy for 2 months, you can't just start this up again. This isn't like a computer, bro. You're not just gonna like lose a few things.
You can't just do a hard boot on it and I'm gonna trade you out here. I'm gonna pop this up here.
Do it. What does that say? When the trucks stop, America stops. Yeah. And this is where Elon Musk automation and the technocracy comes in, but we'll get to that later. What Lori has pulled up is a piece of media that talks about what happens in a 24-hour time period, whenever the trucks stop. Think about the logistics. Think about places not getting food, food shortages. Already there are people robbing certain stores. I'm ranting. Do you want me to read this or do you want to read this?
No, go ahead.
I'm getting fired up, and that's what I'm saying. Like,
no, I love that you get fired up, because I mean, this is something that we're passionate about, guys. We are passionate about putting the truth out there. And especially, I don't know about you, but this is something I've trained for all my life. Okay. This very moment, you know, and I never thought that I would be alive at this point in time to see these events taking place, but you know, so go ahead and read this. This ties in, guys, with the reports coming out of China saying that, you know, that they don't have enough truck drivers to transport the freight that's been put on the docks because everybody's in quarantine. Logistically, we need to look at what happened in China because it's coming here.
Yeah. The draconian measures that we saw China enact on its own population, from disappearing people, from black bagging them in the middle of the street to running inside of their apartments. I don't want to say that level of behavior will come here, but a variation of it will take place, if not by the government, other people, and people who want to keep their communities safe. And that's a whole nother factor that people don't think about. But I'll just read this, and then we'll get into stuff after this. Lori's pulled up. When trucks stops, America stops. It says a timeline showing the deterioration of major industries following a truck stoppage. Within the first 24 hours, delivery of medical supplies to the affected area will cease. Hospitals will run out of basic supplies such as syringes and catheters within hours. Radiopharmaceuticals will deteriorate and become unusable. Service stations will begin to run out of fuel, and manufacturers using just-in-time manufacturing will develop component shortages. U.S. mail and other packages will cease to be delivered. And so think about that real quick. That's just
in 24 hours, guys.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I read an article from a engineer and a biomedical, I think, like, researcher. I could try to pull it up in the time in a second. But she does a quick survey or an analysis breaking down the costs of what would happen if society just used one disposable mask to treat patients for an entire day, given the current stats that we have right now that are coming out of, I think India was the model she used. It's like 500 cases. We haven't reached that yet. I think we're pushing it, but she used a different state or a different country for a different model, saying what would happen if people just so happened to do this using just one mask. And the numbers were frightening. So within just 24 hours, think about it. Some of these masks don't have a reusable aspect to them. You could put colloidal silver in it. You could put a whole different, you know, filter over it. But after a while, it would deteriorate. You would need a new one.
Absolutely, become essentially useless.
Precisely. And I'll put that analysis in the description bar with people, because it is interesting to say the least. But people need to understand how to make a dollar stretch. I don't want to sound like a, you know, like a poor man, but how do you make a dollar stretch? How do you make a meal stretch, meal plan? How do you make something really keep its integrity and its durability over time? And so these are mindsets that the modern day society, with instant gratification, like this article says, just in time manufacturing, next day delivery, our mindsets are not geared to deal with what we are seeing. So let me finish a little bit of this, and then I'll, we'll continue on. It says, within one day, food shortages will begin to develop. Automobile fuel availability and delivery will dwindle, leading to skyrocketing prices and long lines at the gas pumps, what we've seen in Ferguson and various other places with riots. Without manufacturing components and trucks for product delivery, assembly lines will shut down, putting thousands out of work. And what happens, and this is a whole nother angle that we're not thinking about, what happens whenever you have that food, gang? What happens when you have that money, that electricity? What happens when you have that stability and that security? People are going to want to take that from you. And so there's a whole lot of different angles working here that I don't want to get into because my mind's crazy. But what we need to understand is there's, as Lori said before, something happened whenever the coronavirus was unleashed. Not Kobe Bryant's death. There are conspiracy chains that talk about how COVID is connected to the Hebrew understanding of Kobe. I get that. There's something else that happened. There's another part of the agenda that's at play.
Well, we on this channel, I had a couple of guests on. One of my favorite guys that lately, and you've got to meet with him. His name is Marcus Kaiser. And we talked about the spiritual aspect of this disease and yes. how it coincides with, you know, because we're up against principalities and spirits and this is something that it's not against the flesh and the blood. This is something in the spiritual level that's happening also.
Yes. Oh man, Lori, I was watching Now You See TV earlier today and they had, they did a great broadcast about how the gates of hell have been unleashed. And it sounds crazy, but a lot of my audience has been trying to push me to do more research-based episodes because part of them understands what's happening politically, but they have a spiritual, there's a spiritual drought going on right now. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, it does. Yes, absolutely. And it goes along with the deteriorating morality of the humanity.
Yes.
You know, they put us on this slippery slope to the point where, you know, again, I believe it started with abortion, where now, you know.
Yes.
Now we've gone from early abortions. Now we've gone to late term. Now we've gone to, you know, where they're not even considered human until they're delivered to you know, we talked about the euthanasia up in Canada taking place. The entire society as a whole has just such disregard for the human life that, you know, you got to stop and think if, and it's a big capital IF here. If this comes down to this happens to be this life-altering event that we've been warning people about for years, if this happens to be it, we are in to see things that are going to blow our minds, that our entire brain function is not going to be able to handle.
Oh, Lori, I like I said before, at the start of the show, this type of work that we do, it really does have us come into contact with Satanists, Luciferians, and atheists. Like right now, as I talk to you, I have a 365-day devotional book right here. And I also have a men's devotional book. And I got the Bible on the bedstand.
Look, there's days, I mean, come on. I mean, if it wasn't you, it was Robbie, it was somebody. I was tying the rope around my waist going, look, I'm diving down this rabbit hole. I need you guys need to be my anchor. Because I've gone down some deep, dark, pretty nasty rabbit holes to the point where it is, and even Robbie, Robbie has done research, and I wouldn't hear from him for 2 or 3 days, and I would start to get worried, and he would tell me, I'm in a bad place. I'm in a real bad place right now, because emotionally it messes with you.
Yep. Well, Lori, just Friday, there's a page I've been following for 5 years, and I looked at our chat history. Because on Friday, this guy was over here having like suicidal statements, talking about how humans are stupid. We're all going to die, kill us, this, that, and the third. You know, there's no future for us. You could hear the spirits that were working through him. Yeah. And so as I compare like the 5-year relationship thinking, what did this guy do in the time frame? There are people that get caught up in the work for sure. But there's also a part of us that needs to transform as we're confronted with new information, as we understand different phases that we're in, as we like step more into the fullness, not only of God, but this work and everything else. And so that's what I was that's what I was telling you before the store or before the show, is that I have learned to have a deep relationship with God that I really don't think people understand is necessary. They don't understand.
I've seen you grown spiritually.
It trips me out. I will not lie to you. It's not something I want to brag about. It's not something, I don't want to say it's not something I'm proud of. I'm definitely proud of it, but I've understand the necessity of it because of not only the communist infiltration, but the satanic and the Luciferian doctrines that are being implemented in society. I mean, good Lord, Miley Cyrus over here.
We have to have some sort of foundation. We have to have some sort of anchor to hold us, or we would get lost.
We would. We would, and that's why they want. That's why they want to get rid of God. That's why they want to get rid of Christianity. That's why they wanted to corrupt the church. That's why they want to say, "These are the works of man," instead of understanding these are divinely inspired texts. They want to deny Christianity, deny true spirituality, divinity, the wholeness of God. They want to deny it. They want to get rid of it because it reminds them of how fallen they are. You see, this is the satanic inversion. Okay, this is what Alice Bailey wrote about. This is what Helena Blavatsky talked about. This is the externalization of the hierarchy. If they can create a society that believes it is truly fallen, destitute, broken, and degenerate, then it will go with it. The same way they say make a lie so big enough that people believe it. It's the same thing. But now that we're seeing this anti-human, pro-Earth, Gaia worshiping agenda, it denies the divinity of that which is in humanity. It denies the reality of God. It makes it all corporeal and physical. And that's why I keep saying it's dangerous. That's why I freak out, is because we're not in a good place mentally. We are not in a good place emotionally. We are not in a good place spiritually. And our politics are beginning to reflect this. It is teaching us obedience, submission, and control, not freedom, not recognition of the divinity within man, individuality, how we are all children of God. If you say that to people these days, you make their hair stand up. You summon their demons. Like, Lord.
Absolutely.
I remember the other day, I started an Instagram live and I read a devotional, you know, because it has 365 days, every day of the book, every day of the year. You know, I read it to the audience.
Oh, no.
And yeah, you know what happens after that. You get hate DMs, hate comments, you know, how could you get that stuff out of here?
Yeah, we don't want. Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we see it on our pages also. You know, there's time we can. Because I don't know if you know, I gave the page over to Robbie. He's handling the page completely, and I'm completely out of the page. I have the YouTube channel, and that's it. But I know that, you know, you've been with me since the Exposing Satanic World Government days. So I mean, you know that, you know, I've built up pages and you know, a few of them, and you know, you put this information out there, you throw up, you know, mainstream media links, and you talk about, you know, like if we were to talk about coronavirus and talk about this. Now, if I was to put up a Bible passage, oh my gosh, how dare you? You're judgmental, and you're this horrible person, and we don't want to see that crap. I think you guys need to go to my about section, because that's what I'm about. You know, if you're looking for, you know, somebody to tickle your ears or something, you know, a lot of people, when the name of the page was the Exposing Satanic World Government, I would get messages all the time going, I want to join the Satanic Church. Well, you're at the wrong place, because I don't know what you're talking about.
See, it worries me seeing us kind of go down the spiritual path, because I talk about you know, I talk about being Christian, being Buddhist, being Taoist, being agnostic, being theosophic, and then coming all the way back to Christianity, because it has a component to it that recognizes physical practicality with your spiritual body. Like, we live in such abundance, in such a supernatural world, and we're given so many different things. We're given power to command like demons to leave things. Like, we're given we are given so many blessings that if we don't begin to recognize it, you know, we become lazy, we become apathetic. And so that's a whole different, that truly is like a whole different show. But what I see, again, what I see happening is people giving up. I see that spark of divinity, that spark within humanity that meant so much growing up, you know, the idea of like a hero, the idea of like, you know, getting a deeper relationship with God, all these different things, they've been taken from us, and they don't understand how that's what got all this here. Nothing is, oh my God, Lord, no, man is so flawed. There is nothing that hasn't happened under the sun. We are given new ideas by our creator God. We are given mandates by heaven, not politics, to govern our life. And whenever we have policies trying to enact our will against other people's, that's all it is emotional dominion. It's dangerous.
It goes down to it's the doctrine of man, which we are warned about in the word. We're told not to follow the doctrine of men. We're told that, you know, this would happen in the end times, and we see it all the time.
I'll say this, and then I'll let you have it and move on, because I will get fired up. It is a political solution for a spiritual problem. And this is why so many people are lost. They are thinking that something here in this world will save them, and they are fooling themselves. The same way that they're fooling themselves about the coronavirus. They know that they have to figure out something, but they don't want to figure it out, because that requires real world three-dimensional work and internal spiritual work that they don't want to do. It is easier to lie to yourself and say, there is no God. There is no coronavirus. I don't need to worry about these things. Shucks. Is Rick and Morty on tonight? That's all they want to do. And I can understand that. But eventually you have to answer for that conscious ignorance. Eventually you have to answer for that willful denial, that cognitive dissonance. Eventually you have to answer for what you've done, and I would rather answer for it right now.
Exactly. And I always tell people, you know, I'm not here to convince you. I'm just here to warn you. I'm just here to tell you that what I find is the facts about something. I'm not here, like I said, not here to convince you, but I do guarantee, and this is truly by experience. This isn't me patting myself on the back. This is nothing. This is by experience. I have had people call me every name in the book on social media, every name in the book, telling me that I'm this, that, and the other thing. I'm crazy. You don't know what you're talking about. You're fake. You're this, you're that. And then two, three, four years later, come back, send me a message and say, I was scared. I didn't want to admit that what you were saying, but I see it. I understand what you were saying. And the same thing's going to happen here. Is you guys don't have to believe what EJ and I are telling you, but I guarantee down the road, something's going to happen, that something that we said is going to pop back into your head, and you're going to be like, oh, that's what they're talking about. That's what they mean.
Yeah. The sad part is we don't want to be right about these things.
Oh God, I don't ever want to be right about this stuff.
You know, like if you guys would like, I'm really an artist. I would love to just like write books and then just draw comics and do like all kinds of nerdy things. There's a lot of different things I'd like to do. Yep. But I don't think the Lord God's commanded me to do that right now.
How many crocheted blankets I have started in my room, EJ?
Not enough for me.
I want to just be a grandma that sits here and crochets. Okay. I truly, when I wake up in the morning,
knit me a beanie. I'll send you my address. Give me a beanie.
I'm just going to deliver it to you. That's all I'm going to do, because you're on my way back to Phoenix. But, but you know, it's just people need to wake up. You guys need to wake up and realize what is coming. I want to ask you a question, because you did mention it, and we have talked about it here on this channel. Medical martial law.
Yes.
Medical, and I've told people this, medical martial law is completely different than the conventional martial law. Medical martial law, Obama signed into an executive order stating that Americans displaying any form of a respiratory illness or a respiratory situation, whether it be asthma, COPD, the common cold, it doesn't matter. if they come up to your house or if you show signs of this illness, they can detain you indefinitely.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a, I swear to God, Lori, that's why I started this. I remember him. What was it? 2012. Did he sign that one? Because I know in 2016, he signed the Global Health Security Agenda. I know like with one of the NDAAs that Barack Obama signed, he basically said, hey, guess what? We can indefinitely detain you. We can essentially disappear you, journalists, and all kinds of other people that are asking questions. We can put you in these FEMA camps too. You guys remember that? Remember whenever we were seeing all those different coffins? We thought, my God, what in Lord's name would you need that for? Well, you look at the kill rate of this virus. Could this be what they're using? They've already converted 11 different military bases to quarantine facilities. So back to what Lori's saying, detaining people indefinitely, that's not that. Unfortunately, they have the power to do this. China's already deployed full 40 mobile incinerators. Think about these things. I don't want to think about these things, but you've got to put the pieces together. They've had the time since October, November, let's just say, to monitor this. If you don't think that they have some reason to capitalize, monetize, politicize, use this event, well, why else would Trump try to sign like an $8 billion? Why would he hold the country hostage for $8 billion? Did you see the rest of any other country have to sign a bill specifically for this? What is coming down the barrel and what is being authorized? That's something that people need to think about. Like real quick, Lori, if you could you pull up just for continuity's sake, just so we can get this on record? Can you pull this article up on my screen? Or if anything, I'll see if